taken into the county. It's located off of Reinhardt Road, the next development past Savannah Place. I've got an aerial here if you'd like to look at it. Mr. Zachariah Ray, the petitioner, is here today. He stopped by my office several weeks ago, want to know where we were at with this particular petition. Where we are at with this particular petition is that I was asked to correspond with the petitioner in regards to whether or not the neighborhood was covered by a homeowners association. And then my second question to the petitioner was, would your neighborhood be willing to pool their resources and have a contractor repair the sections of roads that are in disrepair? When we reviewed the videotape of this small subdivision that has about 10 or 12 homes, there were several areas of concern that we estimated would cost about $2,500 in asphalt repair to take care of. In doing further research, I did find out there was a homeowners association established in this particular neighborhood, but it appears in my conversations with the petitioner that the homeowners association is pretty much defunct, non-operative, and in their legal description of their duties, they claim that a portion of the homeowners association dues were meant to maintain the common roads, but once again, according to the petitioner, this has not been done since the development's been built. Our last set of minutes stated that we would, this was tabled until further review. Kierden Court was read by Commissioner Pennell. Mr. Pennell moved to table this petition for further consideration. So I guess that's where we're at today. I have corresponded with the petitioner. There was a homeowners association. In the language, it did state the monies were collected were to be for the maintenance of the common areas and the roads. According to the petitioner, that has not been the process or the case, to his knowledge.
Frank, and this photo is probably old, but it doesn't show homes on these lots.
No, it is an old photo.
Okay, Jim is moving his mouse over and. Like, those are vacant lots, but there's two houses there. That's a house there. And that's a house because of the assessed value. If you'd keep on moving there, Jim, around. There is. That's a house. So that's three.
According to our Randy's review, the number of dwellings on Keir Court was 10, and number of dwellings on Keaton Court was 5. So there's a total of 15 homes. It appears the neighborhood is built out. Very close.
Six. Say that again, Frank. Number 10 of them?
Yeah, 10 on Keir Court and 5 on Keaton Court.
Keaton Go Court. Inside that circle drive now.
Why would they name it something like that anyway?
Up there, right, Keaton. There. Go down there. House. Okay. That's 10
what did
houses.
We have estimated cost? Because you went over that $25,000.
Yes. No, it is an asphalt road. It's an. I'll read the comments of the reviewer again of the larger section of the two roads. Road length is 1,635 feet, or 0.31 of a mile. Measured surface width is 21 feet. Known dedicated right of way is 50 feet. This road is in good condition, except a couple of areas that will require digging out and replace the subgrade and resurface those areas. One ditch line will need excavated and shaped to prevent water from crossing the roadway. One entrance culvert should have cleanouts put on for maintenance purposes. And I would recommend a Class 4 if taken into the county system. Cost for repairs to the road surface would be estimated at $1,500 to $2,000 for materials only.
And you don't have our minutes why we tabled this.
It states
for the POA. We're going to see if the POA had any money.
Oh, right. Okay. We asked to see if there was a possible cost share to pay for the maintenance to get the roads up to an acceptable level of condition.
Okay.
How old is the subdivision? Do you have any idea?
Sir, it was built approximately 2007.
Built in 2007. Okay.
Just for grins, who built it? Do you know?
Yes, sir. It was Donald Stevens.
Okay. And your name for the record, please?
My name is Zachariah Ray.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you, Zachariah.
We have a a little issue here that we have to address on this before we can even take into consideration on a petition of this road. I think we have a 3 or 4 year subdivision, not including build out, but subdivision developed, and since the first house was built in a subdivision. I don't think that we can hear this case for road petition until either 2010 or 2011. If it was built in 2007. If you are sure on those dates, we need to review that, or you need to bring us some information.
Mr. Strahan, don't mean to interrupt or deny what you're saying. As part of our road petition process, there are two requirements that need to be met. One of them is the four-year stipulation that you're speaking of. The second one is that over 60% of the neighborhood be built out. So I believe in this case, this particular one may qualify under that term.
I may be confused. I didn't know it was built out. I think it's sold out is the way that it's developed on a new development of an individual. I think it's sold out, 60% of it sold out, and the four-year deal is... The reason I know that is because that has been changed during the 4 years that I've been here, and we had quite a discussion about that particular issue, and I think it's 60% sold out and 4 years, and that's the reason I don't think we can hear this before the petition of the commission.
Well, if you're talking about the guidelines, I think they're termed guidelines is what we're talking about. And I'm not sure about the 60% and the 4 years and all that, but they are guidelines. And I'm fairly confident we've given a little here and there along the way. With 15 homes on this many lots, I think we're okay as far as what those guidelines are meant to do, I think.
I'm just bringing forward what we voted on. If we want to change that, I think that's for another session. But I'm not against if very few roads do we get that come in as are asphalted. We do have a couple of places that need to be worked on over a two-year basis is what I'm saying. We're talking about basically less than 2 years if this is a 2007 project. So
right.
I have no problem with the petition other than the time frame that we use, and I'm willing to the condition of the roads is taken into consideration, like Mr. Pennell said, the number of houses and homes served, but I think we would have to use I think it'd have to be stipulated into the facts of taking in the road. We'd have to talk about this in a different setting.
Do you just want to table it and review the petition process? Is that what you'd like? Is that what you're saying? I mean, I personally don't think there's a problem, but I don't have the petition guidelines. I've never looked at those.
Okay, that's what I would like to look at first, and then maybe we could rechange
here we go.
That.
We got them right here.
Okay. Am I right there on what I said? Or? Okay.
New road adoption policy. The Taney County Commission approved February 2008. So... the above criteria is used to help the commission make their decision, but it does not, underlined, imply that if the above conditions exist, any petition road meeting will automatically be taken in. Oh, that's a little different.
I think that we should consider that right there that you're talking about, Chuck, just what you read, that it should be taken in or shouldn't be taken in, should be in consideration for taking it in.
But to Frank's point, it's developed. Development must be at least 60% built on, or 4 years elapsed since the start of the first house.
Or 4 years, not and, right?
Or.
Okay.
And we've got 15 houses on
15 out of 20.
Out of 18 lots. So I think we're plenty good.
Okay.
Number-wise.
It's
that's
or.
What you were saying, correct?
It's or, but not and.
Okay.
It's or.
There's two criteria.
All right. I thought it was and. Sorry about that. That's the first mistake I've made today.
Write that down.
This day. I mean, I'm thinking the whole year.
Danny?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any more discussion? Comments? Humor?
No.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Okay, board appointments.
I put that on there. We have two members that have, their terms have lapsed, and after talking to Mark Parent, airport manager, and other board members, and then Dave Woolery and Mark Trimble both said that they'd be willing to serve another four-year term. And after talking to him and talking to the whole group, I'd like to make a motion to reappoint Dave Woolery and Mark Trimble back to the board of for the Taney County Point Lookout Airport.
And what time period? Is that an issue we need to discuss?
Are
they two-year, three-year,
they're
four-year?
They're four-year terms. When we first formed the board, we gave them two-year terms so we could stagger the appointments, and they had the shorter terms. So
I second the motion.
Second the motion.
Great. Questions, comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Wow, that one was easy. Drug card.
That's mine, too. Want to let everyone know that we on August 3rd is the official rollout date of the prescription card. We finally got the cards, our display, and some posters that the NACO has printed and sent to us free. And they're about 4 weeks behind schedule. Evidently, there's a lot of counties signing up in this economic condition. So the original 6 to 8 weeks has been pushed back, as it's been closer to 12 weeks since we've talked about it. What we're doing right now is the commission office, specifically Jillian and myself, are working with entities that want to have a pickup point. We can have about 25 in the county. So if you're a business and you want a place where you can, people will come in and get a free prescription card, there's no strings attached. We're looking for places throughout the county. And if you want that to be considered, please let the commission office know. And we will work on that in the next 2 weeks to get those all positioned for August 3rd.
Very good.
That was it.
Any questions, comments on that? Yes, ma'am.
Is there paperwork with that pickup points?
No. Okay. There's no paperwork. The only... I mean, if you're talking about the responsibility of having that pickup point, no. What we'll be doing is in constant contact to make sure you have adequate supplies. But we do all the paperwork from our location, from the commission office of maintaining those locations and things like that, so that we can post it on our website or make it available. If someone calls the commission office and say, where can I pick up a prescription card, we'll have those sites in hours. So the paperwork will be on our side.
Very good. Anything else? Next one's nuisance cases. I put that on there. I was prompted by your question, Jim, on the folks on Holyoke, 230 Holyoke.
Yes.
And not that you need to go into that, or you can if you want to, but I would, we've been at it for about 6 months,
mm-hmm.
kind of halfway doing nuisance, halfway not. And I'd like to suggest that we go ahead and move right back where we were first of the year, whenever it was, we made our change, and have planning and zoning, see if they can't handle that job for us, and just continue on as we have.
Until we work out the details of it.
Yeah. I wish I'd brought them. I think I've got like a half a dozen from the health department where folks have called the health department, and they've done the paperwork, and they're going to face the same issue that we are, I think, as far as litigation. If people don't act on a letter to responsibly take care of a problem, when you get into litigation, I think they're going to be the same place we are. And until that happens, I'd like to see us get somebody in planning zoning to carry that on.
I mean, I think we need to have a work session with that out and talk to Eddie Coxey about it and to see if he's got the man. I mean, we reduced the headcount there, I guess, last year before the.
That's fine.
But I mean, I'm very open to, if you want to table this or
get a work session.
Let's get an hour together with Eddie and see what their workload is. I think they have some extra time, and
Okay.
And that way we can, I think Bob is working on the contract work with the health department too to make sure that.
That's the animal control.
That's animal control.
The statute, they've redrafted to a certain extent. It's pretty much like we had it.
Okay. Sure.
Okay, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's do that.
All right, and I put down State Tax Commission. I'd heard some conversation. Got any news for us, Bob? What's happening?
Not any news since Thursday when we left here. I think that.
I don't think I heard everything as far as what happened Thursday.
On KFIN, it was reported.
Get close to the microphone. We have email. We have e-citizens right now.
On CaseNet, which is the official court site, it was reported on Thursday that in the State Tax Commission and Office of Administration lawsuits based upon the 06-07 Assessment Maintenance Plan, the one that was tried May 20th and 21st, evidently the Judge Patricia Joyce, entered an order finding in favor of the State Tax Commission and the Commissioner of Administration on all counts, is what it said. Somebody said that there might be an order forthcoming, and I haven't seen any. Don't know if I expect any. That may be all there is, or there may be an order, but I'll probably get some sort of official notification, but it is on CaseNet, or at least it was on Thursday.
That's pretty much that's with the new technology. That's really what happens first, and then you get mailed something
right
to that extent.
So that's what I know so far.
Lost on all counts, right?
You want some salt and rub that in?
what are the all counts is the reason I asked the question. I mean, briefly, give us a shot. The press is interested.
I'd have to go get the pleadings, but the...
Summarize, Bob.
Okay.
Hammering.
It looked like a contract. I mean, it even had the word consideration in it. What Mr. McCullough had filed on behalf of the assessor, asked for a declaratory judgment. It said, how did we breach the contract? If we think there's a contract, if there is a contract, please tell us how we breached this contract, you know, and find all the following things.
And you're referring to the assessment maintenance contract?
Right.
Correct.
Assessment maintenance plan.
Plan.
That they claim is not a contract.
Okay.
The other part of the lawsuit that I filed a little bit later was against the Office of Administration, saying that they had a duty under the statute to, it said they shall pay once they make a determination whether or not the request for reimbursement is consistent with the plan, which means it's something that's listed that's reimbursable in the plan, then they shall pay. The state claimed that it says based upon compliance, and that the fact that it says based upon compliance, in their opinion, means only if you're in compliance with the assessment maintenance plan. But what is compliance with the assessment maintenance plan? We did everything in the plan except the one general thing they claim that concerning uniformity and equitableness or whatever, the statutes and the Constitution are a very general provision. They said, based on that, you're not in compliance with the plan, even though you've done everything that's required in the plan. Based upon compliance means only if you're in compliance, and we think you're not in compliance. And they refused to pay. So
when in the office Thursday, I heard Jan Clark had mentioned something about the 15%. Can you explain that briefly?
Okay, there is a separate statute that talks about the ratio study that's done. And there's a specific statute that says that they can withhold 15% of our monies if we don't do well on the ratio study under the statute. There's nothing in any of the statutes that talks about withholding all of the money. I mean, what does based upon compliance mean? We don't have an order from the judge. We only know that she found against us on all counts. She did ask the other side to provide a written order that was 18 pages long that I was reviewing. I don't know whether she's going to sign something similar to that or if she's not. But in that, he talked about based upon compliance meaning only if in compliance. It could mean a lot of things, potentially. Based upon compliance can mean if you're 90% compliant with the plan, you get 90% of your money. It could mean a lot of things, but, you know, their determination evidently is the one that the judge must have bought off on, I'm guessing now. I mean, I really don't know until I get something further from the judge.
But you don't see anything in the statute that indicates that they should withhold everything.
100% of our money. There's no statute that specifically says that they have the right to withhold 100% of the monies that we have to be reimbursed. They are relying simply on the payment by the Office of Administration is based upon compliance. The words based upon compliance or based on compliance, they're taking to mean only if you're 100% in compliance with the plan, according to our beliefs, the State Tax Commission's beliefs. If you're 100%, then you get 100% of your money.
Right.
If you're not 100% in compliance, we've got the right to withhold 100% of your money.
Right.
Based on compliance, I don't see how that's what it means, but that's the only thing that they have that I know of that allows them to withhold those monies.
So one of the questions that obviously that I've been hearing outside the courthouse is basically, are we going to appeal if we do lose? And we haven't had a meeting yet to even discuss that, and on what basis. I mean, we have to kind of see what they found us besides being, you know, against us in all counts. It doesn't give us much right now to even look at the appeal until we see the order to know exactly how we would go about it if we choose to as a commission to go forward. Because we're talking about the 06-07 money, and we still have the 08-09 money, too.
Well, that's a different issue.
Different issue, right. And then
that issue is the commission, the assessor, and the State Tax Commission could not agree upon what the plan should say. The State Tax Commission didn't want one word changed in what they wanted. The actual plan's statute says that the assessor shall come up with a plan, and if the county commission wants any changes in that plan, they can submit their own plan. And then the State Tax Commission needs to agree with the other two entities on something, and that'll be the plan. And if the parties cannot agree, then by May 1st of that year, they will have applied to the Administrative Hearing Commission, and the AHC will then hear the issue and at least theoretically come up with a plan that is the plan. And that was done. It was appealed to the Administrative Hearing Commission by May 1st of 08. And there was a hearing held, a trial of sorts, held in Jefferson City on October 14th of 2008. And since that time, we've been waiting for a decision of the Administrative Hearing Commission as to what the plan is. And as of last week, they hadn't made a decision. The monies were being swept away last week on July 1st. We got a TRO put in place to keep the monies from being swept away so that in the off chance that somebody comes up with a plan that we can be reimbursed under, that we could still have monies available to be reimbursed from.
So that, and that TRO, temporary restraining order, is basically froze the money that was going to be swept away
temporarily at least until July 9th, and now we have to decide what we're going to do. And there's a lot of work for me and y'all, and we're going to need to think creatively and problem solve. And
the reason I'm kind of rehashing this, there, a lot happened last week. We did the temporary restraining order. We met with the State Tax Commission in Jeff City, Chuck and I did, with James. We heard on CaseNet, all in 4 days, there was a lot of information that came out. So this temporary restraining order, you have a court date set of?
July 9th.
July 9th, which then we'll find out if that will stay or.
The restraining order could go away, but
could go away.
You would think somebody would make a decision, either say they're not going to do anything.
Based off the October 14th or October
trial date.
October trial date. They have yet to make a decision, so.
Yeah, and I'm not being at all.
That you, I know what you're going to say. You can not say that, so.
Okay.
I'm trying to think what else we're going to, and then we the other information was that we all met together in Jeff City. They gave us basically a new contract, a 6-month contract. Is that what they offered us, a 6-month assessment maintenance plan? That was reported.
We were in Jefferson City last week. We sat down, and they had prepared when we arrived an assessment maintenance plan, which has a date of from July 1st, 2009 to December 31st, 2009. And basically they said that they would start funding us for the rest of the year. Someone said they heard that maybe some money's from April, May, and June. I don't know how that would work, but may be available. But the rest of it was gone. When I talked about the right. rest of the money, they commented, despite your TRO, we consider the current monies the monies from July 1st on.
But in the assessment maintenance plan, I'm just kind of getting everyone to fill in the blanks here, there was no mention of any payment. And part of that plan was they would come down here, work with James to reestablish some things that they find.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of said that they'd start funding right away if there was cooperation, what they viewed as cooperation, for what it is they want to do. But nothing in the agreement guarantees that they would pay. If what they viewed as cooperation was how they viewed maybe compliance as
right.
opposed to how we viewed cooperation or compliance, we might not get any money.
Right.
But, you know, who knows?
When you talk about compliance, Mr. Paulson, we got the press here. I would like to have you state what you stated before about the number of counties that would be considered under compliance in the state.
It depends upon what you claim is compliance. When they talk about uniformity and equitableness, nobody is perfect. When the standard is perfect, that you have to be take the appraised value and multiply by 0.19% for residential, you have to be at a perfect 0.19. Not too many counties are at a perfect 0.19. However, the State Tax Commission, as far as I know, and as far as they testified at court, never adopted a regulation adopting any allowable tolerance from the perfect standard, meaning if you're 10% off, and that's kind of what we think they use, if you're 10% off, more than 10% off, they say that you're not compliant, but they've never adopted that standard or put that in, made that official anywhere. And at testimony, they also said that there are several counties.
I think you said 23. Didn't they say something like that?
I don't remember exactly how many, but there are several counties that are more than 10% off, and they didn't withhold their money.
That's
That's
exactly what I wanted to bring forth, is that as far as I'm concerned, Taney County is being discriminated against. There's 23 counties that are not in compliance according to their standards, and those counties are not having funds withheld. I'm rather disappointed that we are dealing with Taney County is dealing with the State Tax Commission, and the State Tax Commission doesn't have enough concern for this issue to send the appropriate paperwork to give us. We read it on CaseNet like everybody else does, but I do not understand why our attorney or James's attorney does not receive official notification.
Well, we'll be getting official notification.
You say that. Well, I don't believe that we receive anything from the State Tax Commission. Basically, I don't believe a word that they say until we receive that and get it in our hands, because we have met a total of 7 times with the State Tax Commission, going to their location, spending our time and money to receive those funds, and we receive no notification except through CaseNet. I find that rather disturbing.
On Thursday afternoon, I was told that it was on CaseNet, and I looked, and it was in fact there. That's going to get on there a lot quicker than mail is going to get to me from the court. It's the court that would inform us of what occurred. And as a matter of fact, as soon as I found that out, I emailed the Assistant Attorney General who handled the case on behalf of the Office of Administration, the State Tax Commission, and I asked him if there was going to be an order, and he said he didn't know. He hadn't even seen it on CaseNet yet. So you know.
To follow Danny's point, how'd you find out? Who'd you hear it from?
A person here in the courthouse told me that it was on CaseNet. They had been looking quite often and monitoring CaseNet to see if there'd been a decision. And they told me that they thought that it was on there, and I looked and it was. So.
The only other thing I wanted to point out is that the assessment maintenance plan they offer from July 1st to the end of this year, James signed when we were in Jeff City. The commission is yet to sign it. We're looking at it to see, make sure that that doesn't affect our appeal process. As Danny and Chuck have said, the state tax commission sometimes has multiple maneuvers, and we just want to make sure that we're not jeopardizing the past $500,000+. So obviously that's where we're reviewing that also.
I'd just like to make it, I think it's for every citizen's benefit in the county to know that we arranged a meeting requested by Mr. Pennell a good month to 6 weeks before the July 1st date, which all the monies would be swept away at that time. And it's not unusual for me to think that their July 1st date, the date that the money would be swept away, was any accident. So I think that
you didn't state that that was the earliest date they wanted.
Well,
to
we
meet.
Gave
that
him
that was the point.
Yeah, we actually gave him every day in June available. We said we'd reschedule every meeting, and we gave him every day in June. And their first day available was July 1st.
So. You didn't state that part, so
okay. I'm sorry. I just had to drink a sip of water.
Maybe I shouldn't read this. Might fire you up worse. But I will anyway. It says, I called and left you a message in reference to the meeting with our commission on July 1st in Jeff City. The commissioners wanted me to contact you and let you know that as of June 17th, the rest of the month is open and they are willing to come to Jefferson City for a meeting. Please check your calendar and see what day would work for you. I appreciate your assistance. Let me know what I can do to assist to that end. Thank you, Jillian. And the answer is...
July 1st.
Apologize. It has taken me some time to respond. The commissioners have various scheduling conflicts, which include some training sessions taking place this week and next, so I'm afraid July 1st is the first available date that the STC can meet with Taney County. If you have any questions, blah, blah. Sandy Wonkum?
Yes.
There were requests earlier in the earliest date they gave
before
was
that,
July 1st.
That was on the... Well, whenever it was.
And someone 17th, could think that it's coincidental 16th. That July 1st is the date that the monies are gone, but some might not think that.
Slightly off the subject here. Thank you, Jillian, for doing that work for us. And anybody that hadn't met Jillian, she's filling in for Nikki this morning. Nikki's got a whole week off, so we appreciate you.
It's Mr. Strahan. He moved closer to the microphone.
James, you want to say something?
As they say, this is a fast-spinning world, and last week really spun fast. But I will make a statement that I would like to request that this county commission appeal this case on the grounds that the state feels like that we were 30% low in 2007 on some testing they've done, and all my information points that we are not. And I don't believe the taxpayer should be right now abandoned ship on. I believe that we should appeal this case on and try to find the true facts of what has went on here. Thank you.
So, James has requested that we appeal the case. Got any input for us, Bob?
Well, James is a party as the assessor in his official capacity, and he has the right to appeal any adverse decision that he cares to appeal. The county commission is a party because we're signatories on the assessment maintenance plan, have the right to appeal as well. So either party can appeal. He can do that on his own out of the assessor's budget. You can do it out of the commission budget. Either party can make that decision, and then everybody's in it, I guess.
Gotcha. Got that part. Pros and cons. surely you've been chewing on it. And Jim's point of assigning us, the Taney County Commission, signing him the 6-month maintenance plan.
I have a lot of thoughts. I don't necessarily want to share them right now, but I have a lot of thoughts. What he said about the assessment maintenance plan, signing it for 1/4 of the assessment maintenance period, I would want to be sure that that doesn't in any way say that this is the plan and you've intentionally opted not to take 3/4 of the plan monies. I would want to make sure that that wasn't the case. As far as appealing the decision,
it goes to...
I'm fine with appealing the decision if that's what you want to do. I mean, it's easier to appeal when they do an 18-page findings of fact and conclusions of law, because what they say they based their decision on, you can find fault with and maybe get it reversed based upon that. But
any one thing of the 18 pages, right, we could appeal...
That's substantive enough to appeal, to reverse it. But when the judge simply says... fine for the other party on all counts, then the appellate court just looks at, is there any way, any possible way, that the judge could have found the way that she found? And if there is, then that judge is affirmed. So the worst thing that could happen is...
What's in CaseNet right now?
That's on CaseNet. It'd be much better if we had that 18-page proposal by the Assistant Attorney General as the written order. I don't know what the judge is going to do, if there's going to be a subsequent order or not, or if we've already received everything we're going to receive, other than by mail that official notification. So I really don't know the answer to that question yet, and there's some other things that I want to discuss, but not necessarily in the open.
How long a process would be a question some folks might have, me included?
Well, 30 plus 10 is generally the... and I have to look at the rule, but 30 plus 10, the judgment's final 30, so 30 plus 10, you have to have filed your notice of appeal. So 40 days from the date of judgment. And then after you appeal, there's a period of time to get your transcript ready from the trial, along with the legal record, which is all the papers that were filed in the case. And you get that filed with the court, and then you have a period of time in order to write your brief saying wherein and why you believe the trial court erred. And then the other side gets to write their brief within 30 days after that, and then you have the ability to write a reply brief after that. And then they schedule it for oral argument unless oral argument is waived. And, you know, that whole process can go anywhere from, I'd say, 5 to 6 months to 2 years. Is the appeal process generally.
Go ahead, James.
I just want to make a little clarification. There was a little note in the paper about the assessor signing an agreement, and that was not an agreement. This is a plan, an extended plan, is how the State Tax Commission described this. All the layout...
The commission denied that it was an agreement or a contract at trial.
Right, and but in the paper, I think it kind of leaned toward that I'd run up and sign some kind of agreement. The thing I signed in the Jeff City is procedural matters only that would proceed out of the other 2-year plan, but just revamping it type situation. The problem we're going to have with the 2-year plan is the state's going to step in and say, hey, values are lower in 10 and 11. Well, everybody knows that. That's not scientifically going to have to be proved. Values will decline in 10 and 11. So there's no questioning that. There's no studies that they can perform that would not reveal that. So basically, like I say, what I signed up there was just reiterating, yeah, I agree, we've got to proceed with the plan, and I believe those points will be, if we ever hear from the administrative hearing process that was supposed to rule in 30 days, you'll see that is in the plan right now. So nothing was agreed, no agreement was signed, and the paper did a pretty good job reporting on it, but it kind of leaned toward I'd went up and signed some kind of agreement, and I have not.
And I don't know that the Administrative Hearing Commission is...
What do you call it?
It's not a contract, according to the court.
If I could,
Well, he said within 30 days, and there's no requirement by statute that they find within 30 days, but it sure would have been nice.
Bob, using the State Tax Commission words, what was that they gave us? Was it it wasn't an agreement.
Well, it wasn't a contract. It was an assessment maintenance plan. It's a statutory
plan. A non-contracted plan.
Assessment maintenance. That's what I'm reading.
A modified assessment maintenance plan.
And that was the part of the question I had on my mind when James was waiting, is the assessment maintenance plans that we've signed, this commission that James has signed, is rather thick form. So this thing that James signed was surely a part of the, 8-9 plan. I mean, it's amendment or something to the 8-9 plan, right or wrong.
Wow, those are my only two choices?
Right or wrong, yes.
Well, I got him.
For an attorney, that's
I got him.
But he hasn't answered yet, though. He'll come up with plan three.
You hear what I'm saying? I mean, they bring us a maintenance plan, and you've been on the phone for hours, maybe days, talking about the maintenance plan. And they brought this agreement that's 3 pages, 4 pages long or something. James signed it. It's a place for us to sign. Is that the whole plan?
Do they replace the other plan, I guess is what I'm saying? Or is this an addendum to the
old plan? Does that replace the other
plan? That's a wonderful question.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You don't have the answer.
We don't have answers yet. That's the problem.
Okay.
There are no answers.
Please come to the mic.
Please state your name at the microphone.
I'm Jan Clark. I'm with the Taney County Times and the Branson Daily Independent. If this is such a problem, why is the county even sending the tax commission the money? If you don't believe that they're accurate and they keep withholding to the tune of about $750,000 worth of county's money, why are you sending them the money?
We don't send them the money.
We pay the
wages of the assessor's employees. The money stays right here in Taney County. It goes from the general county revenue, our general budget, and it pays those wages.
Give or take.
Normally, those wages would be paid through the state money. Normally, the state money comes here and pays those wages. Now it's not.
Okay, so basically there's no exchange of funds, because I think that's a lot of people have asked that.
Yeah.
Well, basically, the tax commission pays James.
There's a failure of the state to send us the money that they have for all these years.
Give or take, we get about $60,000 in the past every quarter,
right?
Which would amount to
$20,000 a month,
$240,000 a year, yeah. $250,000 a year, to supplement the funding of the assessor's office, and in return, we do some paperwork and additional things that they want us to do that helps them do their job, and they want to try to assure that all the counties do their work the way they want to see it done. And it's the carrot rather than the stick. Instead of punishing you for not doing it the way they want it done, they give you the carrot to encourage you to do it the way they want it done. And if they're displeased, they take the carrot away until you do what they want. They've taken our carrot away, $250,000 a year for a while, and they want us to do it, I guess, their way, but they don't want to order it. They want James to do what they want him to do, but they don't want to order it.
Right.
And so basically, if you don't fund the assessor's office, then it's not going to stay in operation.
Correct.
In spite of the dispute with the tax commission.
The whole premise of the meeting that we had on July 1st was basically two questions that I asked. What, if anything, is the county commission, not doing that we can do to help encourage the assessor to be in compliance, whatever that is, you know, based off of a non-signed, non-agreement, non-contractual agreement that we don't have, that makes enough no's. And they said basically all we have is budgetary authority over the assessor's office. So really all we can do is stop funding the assessor's office. That's really the only thing that we can do. Well, that's not what's best for the citizens. The other thing was through the BOE process, which is the summertime, you know, do they want us to do something through that process to help rectify a problem so that we can get our funding? And they basically don't want us to do that either. So what they gave, you know, gave us that we weren't expecting was a 3 or 4 page document, basically saying that they're going to, they want full cooperation, and in writing they said that they were going to start the assessment cycle, the assessment process all over again, and hoping it would be done in 18 months. And that's basically, but I mean, there's some counties that get, they fund, the reimbursement for the assessor is, you know, 15% of the overall budget because they have much larger offices. I can assure you that there's some counties that could not function the assessor's office if they weren't getting reimbursed. You know, so we, you know, the commission before us and before me, and then currently, we don't need the money, but it's owed to us. But we don't need the money to keep the assessor office open. And when I say open, we still have statutory responsibility to have the elected official, and I think one other employee has to be. If we were to close down the assessor's office, it doesn't mean everyone goes home. I mean, we still have to maintain a few people in the office, even when we say we're going to close it down. But
Horace, it's not optimal to the county that
right.
we take funds that could be spent on other things
sure.
to supplement
Absolutely.
What the state isn't paying.
Right.
So, and does James's plan, I mean, this, you're calling that a plan. You said the press called it an agreement or alluded to it's an agreement.
Well,
so
it really is
supposed to be
an
it's an agreement, but
it's not
a contract.
Contract.
It's an agreement, but not a contract.
Okay, so we can call it an agreement, but it's not a contract.
Correct.
The judge said it wasn't.
The judge says it was
and
not
is
a contract.
Is it legitimate, and do you have to sign it then for it to be enforced?
We do have to sign it. Is that correct?
Okay.
Thank you. Is that right, Bob?
We believe we have to sign it. There's a place for us to sign it, and we believe
we
have to sign
it. We have to agree to it according to the statute.
Right. We have to agree to the agreement, but not the...
I'm looking at Sally's copy sitting there in the chair right beside her, and it says Assessment Maintenance, Taney County. And I'm thinking about the pages. Humor me, Sally. How many pages we got there? If you don't mind.
Not counting the cover sheets.
I have
four. 4 pages.
Okay. And I'm remembering sitting many a time through the process of trying to get James and the State Tax Commission to sign a very similar agreement to this right here over the last how many months?
Or years.
Years. And so my point is that this is the same agreement, contract, whatever you want to call it, that we've been looking at for years. We haven't been looking at the whole thing. We've only been looking at these few pages. Now we've got one that James signed, and we signed in order to go forward. Why wouldn't we sign it? We were going to, I mean, we've signed in the past. You hear where I'm going?
I hear where you're going. We got this, what, Tuesday or Wednesday of last week?
Wednesday.
And
But my point is, James said something that there was one thing, and they'd settled that, and that's why he signed it. And we've looked through this over and over and over. Why wouldn't we sign it?
To jeopardize past money.
Right. That's the only reason I wouldn't
sign
it.
That's the only reason I wouldn't sign it is the fact that we might have a problem with jeopardizing monies that were swept under the rug July the 1st in past dates.
Jeopardize even the possibility of going after.
Right. I was gonna
say, if we're not jeopardizing that possibility, there's absolutely no reason not to sign it as long as there's nothing in that plan that is objectionable to
right.
you.
Yeah, but there's a sense of, I guess you're not supposed to say this, there's a sense of foolishness about that when they say that they can give you money from March, April, and May, or June, or whatever, which has been swept under the rug, that seems to be able to be pulled back out from under the rug. So those are the kind of questions that I would like to have. You know, if every citizen could have sat in that trial up there, and heard Mr. Epperson admit that he was the gentleman himself that had decided that Taney County would not receive their funding. One person on the State Tax Commission who made that decision through the admitting it through our attorney's questions, it would be very important that every citizen understand the difficulty of trying to deal with people when you arrange a meeting to settle a process and you go through seven meetings that I know of to try to get this settled where we drove to Jeff City or Lake the Ozarks or wherever. So it's very difficult to deal with people that no matter what you come up with, it's not going to be satisfactory to them.
I think when you gentlemen read this plan, you're fixing to see this plan is establishing the plan down the road. The reason I signed this plan is because I feel like
it's
nothing but a total extension of what we need to do. And if the administrative hearing process does what it's supposed to do, there's no need for the new plan. But we don't have a plan, as the state calls it, in force at this point, I believe is the statement they said. They're going to simply run tests through this plan, seeing where the problem areas might be. There is no guarantee of anything, of the assessor even being wrong on anything. This is simply a step to start them in the testing procedure quicker than they normally do. So I don't know where this piece of paper that I signed, and I don't care if the county commission signs it. I just seen it as part of the procedure that was going to continue whether I signed it or not.
Right.
So I approve. I get this ever. And Chuck, I want to correct you, I hope, in a non-abrasive way here. I write those plans over the years. There's nothing to get me to sign a plan. I sign them immediately because I'm the one that writes them. I spend all my time trying to get you gentlemen to sign them. It's vice versa. Until the last one. All the years, I am the one by statute is to present the plan.
The Administrative Hearing Commission, Bob Epperson testified that there are 114 counties and the city, and they have a template, and they all sign basically the same template with the names changed, who the workers are, and that sort of thing. But basically, it's the same template for all 114 counties. And they present it, and even though the statute says that you're to present the plan.
That's correct. But and I want to make one kind of plug to the office. When I took office, the same plan implemented. When I took office, we had 34,000 parcels. The same plan implemented last year, we had 44,000 parcels with no increase of funding from the State Tax Commission. They have now frozen our parcel count to last year. That's a question that can't be answered. So from 34,000 to 44,000 with the same number of people with no increase in funding. So, gentlemen, we're doing our job the best we can with the funds that's available, and you've got a big decision ahead of you.
Bob, James was correcting me about writing the plan. I know that James puts the figures in for his employees, of course.
Right. There's a lot of detail for each county that he has to put into the plan.
Yes. Right. But as far as the plan, I thought I understood you to say that it's pretty much a boilerplate plan. In fact, I think you just said that again.
That's,
James doesn't write that, correct?
No.
James puts the figures of his staff.
It's who the employees are, how many they are, what kind of work they'll be doing, that sort of thing. Individualizes it to the county, but the main template is the same in every county.
And pretty much every county, as far as we know, throughout the state is using that same plan, putting their figures in it.
That's what Bob Epperson testified to in October.
Thanks. What else? You have a copy in your hand.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Okay. How about a recess, sir?
Let's see. Can we do election official right quick? See if anybody's got anything? Department heads? No? Okay. We're out of here till 10 o'clock or something.
Off the appeal, then I'm not as simple as you were.